Warning, do not listen to this podcast if hearing about freedom and liberty is not legal for you in your community. And if so, you should immediately move to a hipper community.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Podcast, a weekly web lab where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati cover the punk rockinist, hip hopinist current events, as well as timeless universal truths about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, because there's no such thing as half free. The Freedom Fiends Podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com and the Liberty Radio Network.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Distance Learning Anarchy Series with Freedom Fiends Michael W. Dean.
Broadcasting from my windowless bunker.
And Nima Vedati.
Go, go, Freedom Fiends!
Any kind of, audio.
Well, someone can tell us in the chat room. Do you listen to audio on it? Is that what one thing people use it for? I'm looking at it. Man, on my cable cable program, which is run by Cabletown, actually Comcast, but that's called Cabletown in 30 Rock. On my cable network, there's a bunch of audio-only channels. I mean, they show you like the record cover and a little bit of
blurb
about the artist. And there's like 30 of them, and they're all kinds of music. It is some of the worst music I've ever heard, most of it.
Yeah, a lot of it sucks.
Lowest common denominator. I mean,
yeah.
The old school rap one is good, and the old school rock one is good, which I guess means I'm old, you know? But a lot of the channels that are called like hip-hop play stuff that have hip-hop or rap in the name that play new stuff. I don't think it's something you would even recognize as rap. I mean, it's like really produced soul. It kind of all makes my ears hurt. It's all like really tinny, auto-tuney, really loud, shiny production. Is that what hip-hop is? But it's not like gangsta. It's like, you know, guy raps a little bit and then woman goes...
Yeah, there's been kind of a... I guess there's always been this divergence in hip-hop, but there is the top 40... hip-hop, and then there's, you know, the more gangsta hip-hop, I guess, as you said it. And sometimes they do crossover. There's a little Venn diagram, but when I think of what you're saying, I'm probably thinking of like Flo Rida and people like that, people who seem to only rap for drunk white girls in clubs somewhere.
I mean,
Wyoming.
this is so bad that like Will Smith's rap would be better, you know.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, but it's fun sometimes to listen to it to see what the lowest common denominator is. Like sometimes you forget what the lowest common denominator is. I remember listening to it once while we were playing poker at my father-in-law's house, and there was a Plies song that came on. Plies is a rapper. I think he's from New Orleans, somewhere pretty south, I think, and he's got a really, really thick accent. It's really ghetto. That's kind of his thing. And there was this chorus where I literally swear to you, the chorus was, "I'm hood, man. No, I'm really, 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 really hood, man." That was literally, and he said like really like five times. I was like, oh, all right.
Worms.
Good for you, guys. Nice use of adjectives.
Hang on. Worms. I'm testing.
Yeah. Well, we can still test and talk about Plies. Plies.
I checked the stream. It sounds good. I checked it on another computer. I've never heard our stream on another computer. But yeah, let me play back. I recorded Nima Fien. Welcome. How are you? This is Michael W. Dean. How you doing, Nima Dean?
Doing good. Usual. Nima as Dean. Per usual, you know, as the kids say these days, I guess, maybe. I don't know how many kids.
Butt casting. You will. And you'll be like, what are you listening to? Here, let me play you some old dirty South hip hop. And they'll be like, no, Dad, we like this. And it'll be like just noise to you, to anybody.
Yeah.
There's actually, did you ever see that video of someone doing this song called, it's this joke about like how pop music degenerates. And it's this female singer who's, the song is like, it's a guy hitting a bass drum going boom, 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 boom. And that's the whole music. And her singing is like, this is the song I made. This is the song I made.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Oh, I think that's a takeoff of that band called the Ting Tings. Because it sounds pretty similar to That's Not My Name.
I like that's that not song. My name. That's actually a pretty good song for something manufactured in a genetic research laboratory.
It is, but I think that's the simplistic, minimalistic thing they were kind of making fun of. Although, That's Not My Name is pretty catchy.
And actually, This Is the Song I Made. This Is the Song I Made got stuck in my head for about a week. So
nice.
Probably longer than the Ting Ting song.
Simple can be catchy.
Yeah.
But I saw Ting Tings on SNL because they did SNL once. And I'd heard people talk about them, but I hadn't really heard anything except for, That's Not My Name, which is really catchy. And the other song they played, I forget the name of it, but it was kind of cool to see them do it live because it was pretty simplistic and minimalistic. But she had a loop player that was operated by foot pedal and a sequencer. And she actually sampled her voice and played it back and then sung over it and layered it in real time live, which I know a lot of people do. But it was cool to see somebody sort of mainstream.
Well, there's that rapper that we like who did that I turned you on to.
Yeah. What's his name? Reggie Watts.
He's awesome.
Yeah. Who does the fuck shit stack.
Fuck shit stack. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Apparently, he does it with an MPC and samples his own voice and makes the beat out of it. So he'll sample himself doing a bass drum sound and then a snare sound. And then he'll play it on the pads. It's an NPC. He plays it he's making a beat, but he does it with his own sounds.
It's awesome. It fills me with awe. So the name of this episode
is that's the thing about awesome is it's almost like a word that's really amazing, and a word that means kind of a little bit some. So why is it like that? Why is it not awful?
Awful, full of awe. Yeah,
because awful is bad, but awesome is supposed to be a whole lot of awe. But it's why does it have some in it?
Now, how does the non-aggression principle play into that? It doesn't.
Weird. People can use whatever segue words. Ever.
Nah, because I want to get that out of the way. Because every episode, we're going to do a segment where we analyze. Nah, there's going to be better things we got coming up. So the name of this episode is Why We Torrent, which will be good for SEO. And you asked that question in the last cast, and I listened to the whole cast today. It was great for something that started with me yelling at you and threatening to quit. And we were doing our first kind of successful rebroadcast of the LRN thing. Now today we're doing our normal Tuesday show on Monday, which we're going to release today on BitTorrent only to encourage BitTorrenting on our RSS BitTorrent feed, which you can find by going to the freedomfiends.com site and clicking on the Torrent Club link at the top. But we don't usually broadcast this show. We usually do it, talk a bit, and then release it later, without an audience. But We quit the Curry Cast No Agenda stream due to technical differences. So
yeah.
I tried to call you. I couldn't get a hold of you. I decided to just go ahead and fiendcast this live and check the audio for, because yesterday we were doing a rebroadcast of a show that's radio programmed and everything's set. So today I wanted to see how it would work with us doing it on our own feed 100%. Because that's what we're going to be doing now on Thursdays. And maybe if we like this, we'll start doing it this way.
Yeah.
So ask me again why we torrent and, act like you don't know what it means and what it is and why we do.
Yeah, I know why. I know why. I'm
putting so much energy into it. Ask me
This is learning for you guys. Michael, why are you so obsessed with telling people to torrent our stuff rather than merely clicking on the iTunes icon, subscribing, and getting it automatically delivered to their face? Why do you want them to torrent things?
Because I want us to be around in 1,000 years. And I want us to be around if the government decides to outlaw free speech tomorrow or just CISPA's our site because, we used an icon logo on our link to the iTunes logo on the link to the how to get us on iTunes.
Okay.
And if you have absolutely no follow-up questions, I'm done. But
no. I mean, why do you think that torrenting is the way to do that? And what makes you so confident that torrenting is going to be around in 1,000 years?
Well, it probably won't, but I want us to be around in a year, and we might not be if the government has its way. And if the government stopped us tomorrow, banned free speech. I mean, basically, think about how communism was looked at in the 50s. I could see liberty talk being looked like that in a couple years, and it kind of already is, because we use the word anarchist, which is not a violent thing. It's just we want a complete lack of government.
We want lack of initiated violence. Yeah, which is the
and
lack
I
of
could
government.
See, I could see that being outlawed, the way communism, you know, being a communist in the 50s meant you couldn't work, you couldn't get a job. They'd arrest you for anything they could. They'd shut down any way you had to talk to the media. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to get to that way with anarchy within, I mean, we're kind of already there. I mean, look at Brendan Robb. I don't even think he's an anarchist. He's a constitutionalist, which doesn't go as far as anarchy.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it could be a full circle kind of thing, because if you listen to Ben Doan, part of what he says is he likes to go back to the history of when anarchists were sort of the terrorists of the day back at the turn of the century. You know,
bearded
early
anarchists. You're a bearded
early
anarchist.
1900s. Yeah, and for the police, it was kind of a justification for their own existence. You know, well, we've got all these anarchists around, so you need police here to protect you from them. And at the same time, it was sort of the same agent provocateur thing. I guess there wasn't an FBI back then, but there were agents of the state that would try to infiltrate these anarchist meetings and often be, you know,
the only people donating.
Yeah, it'd be all goons. Now, I guess that's a different kind of anarchist. Like, I think some of them maybe did have
violence
in mind.
Well, that was people that wanted to blow stuff up. Or, you know, that's the way history, that's the way history tells it. Maybe they weren't.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen the primary sources. And so, I guess that is something we should probably look at a little bit more, because it is interesting. But
we should talk about the Haymaker riots at some point. I mean, that's definitely a good topic. But so, I mean, you think about, like, things that have survived through the ages. A lot of times, they survived through the ages because they had something to say to people, which we do, and people love it. I mean, there's people. I got an email today from Mark Schisler in Canada, who also did some fiend testing for me. And I want people to check this out. I want people to check out kittyfeet.com, KittyFeet.com, the Anarchy Gumbo site, and check it out from anywhere you have access to the internet, especially if you use different public networks, because apparently it's blocked in Iran and in McDonald's. So I want to know where else it's blocked and if I need to switch to another domain like anarchygumbo.something or not. I don't want to do that because I'd lose listeners. But
we would like to know if it's also blocked in Burger King and Iraq.
Yeah. Yeah. So check out kittyfeet.com. He did some testing for me and said it's blocked at every McDonald's public Wi-Fi he went to, and the Freedom Fiends are not. So I guess it's the word anarchy, or I don't know, that it used to have sex key tags in it or something 15 years ago. I don't know. But I've had that domain for 15 years, so I don't want to get rid of it if I don't have to. I want to use it for the Anarchy Gumbo. So, but he wrote to us today and said, "The world is full of people who feel that the world has gone mad. How many can discover liberty? Only time will tell. But these people need an introduction. And that's what the fiends are doing. If that's what the fiends are doing, you're doing it well." You know, and this guy discovered liberty, I believe, through us, or it took him the last mile, you know, you know, it's funny. We're talking about the last mile. I don't even know if that was the phrase that Scott Horton used, but he said something and I extrapolated it to going from statist to minarchist, or from statist to libertarian, is a journey of 1,000 miles. Going from libertarian or minarchist to anarchist, anarcho-capitalist, is a journey of one more mile. How come so many people take, you know, days to go the first 1,000 miles and then years to go and like grit their teeth to not go the last mile? You know, an interesting thing is there's a thing called the last mile issue. It's with networking, like putting in cable all over the world for digital transmission, or for whether even analog transmission, and then, you know, now for digital transmission. The last mile is the hardest to wire, because that's the one that goes from, you know, the box to people's houses. So there's a thing called the last mile issue, or the last mile bottleneck. And I guess the same thing works in liberty. So, yeah, I want to be around, you know, in a year, in 5 years, in 10 years, in 1,000 years, even if we're in Gitmo in 10 years, literally, I want people to be passing us. And we joke about it, doing it on pigeons, but, you know, with carrier pigeons, but I literally want people burning our media to whatever media exists then, and passing it on to other people secretly. Like in the Soviet Union, there was anti-communist propaganda that was like printed in basements and handed out, and you could go to prison for doing it, but people still did it. But a lot of people have to have the source material to do that. And torrenting is the way to do that. Because people, I mean, iTunes literally by default deletes a podcast after you listen to it. You download it, it deletes. You have to click do not auto delete on each episode, not just on the podcast. That won't do it. But on each episode to keep it from auto deleting.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Mine doesn't do that.
It does.
Mine does if it's been, well, I don't know.
You don't listen. Do you listen all the way through? Ever to podcasts?
I guess, yeah, that's the difference. If I listen to it 100%
you listen to the last second, next time you update, it'll be gone. So
yeah,
I want...
The thing is, I always stop listening after, like when I start hearing the ads at the end, stop listening.
Yeah, that's why you don't lose it.
I stop listening.
You know, our stuff is so good that people generally do listen to the end. So even our ads are good.
Every last drop, it's like drinking the milk at the end of the cereal bowl.
Oh, I mean, I look at our stats on Stitcher, which actually tells you the average minute time that you know, most people go all the way through a Freedom Fiends or Anarchy Gumbo.
Okay.
So, you know, basically tomorrow, for no reason at all, the government could stop all of our websites. They could stop our streaming server. They could take away my internet and your internet. But if that happened tomorrow, there are enough seeds out there already of BitTorrent seeds of people who have all of our stuff on their hard drive. And if that happened, word would get out. You know, I'd go to a payphone and call in on Free Talk Live, and that would be a battle cry to everybody, you know, and then Pete Ayer would reblog it, and other people would reblog it, and other people who haven't been CISPed yet would talk about it. And all of a sudden, everybody who's even torrented our stuff, I think, would consider it a challenge of I'm going to torrent this 24/7. I would if that happened, if I was doing it for someone else. I'm doing that for, you know, I'm seeding not a lot of stuff by other people because, you know, we have to pay for our seed box stuff and people don't have to pay to have it on their own home servers. But Derek J's movie and the book Rats by Claire Wolf. I'm seeding both of those from home part time when I'm not using my computer. If either of those people got thrown in jail, I would start torrenting their stuff 24/7 and telling everybody else to and posting the torrent link everywhere. Now, the way BitTorrent works is it turns your computer into a server where other people can download stuff from it without opening you up to everything else on your server. And if you do it right, I mean, people that do it to get movies that they're not supposed to be able to get because, you know, someone claims to own them, if they use a VPN and they use PeerGuard, it's pretty much unstoppable unless they find your computer. But you don't even have to do that for this if you're only doing the Fiends because it's legal. We own it in the copyright sense of the word, and we are giving it away for everyone to, you know, you can't get arrested for copyright violation for doing it the Fiends, so you don't even need a VPN to do it. I use a VPN because my Comcast Cabletown local hick network run by antelopes running on a wheel doesn't deal, you know, if I use BitTorrent without a VPN, and you have the same problem, right? Like they throttle you, don't they?
Oh, like worse than throttle. They like apply the parking brake. It's awful. And it's not just where I'm at now.
They put a boot on the car you drive on the information superhighway.
Exactly. No, and it's here in Austin with Time Warner Cable. You know, Austin's a pretty
big
city.
Town. It should work.
Almost a million people. Yeah, and so it's not a, oh, well, we have a slow bandwidth thing. And plus I pay double, you know, for the super fast internet. But anytime that they seem to have some kind of flag for BitTorrent, and whenever it's running and actually files are being transferred over BitTorrent or uTorrent, I think I use, it will throttle everything coming out of my pipe.
Yeah.
So not only my computer, but my wife's computer, the Netflix PS3, my brother-in-law's computer. If you have problems torrenting, here's what I do, and this solves it completely, and you already said it, is download PeerBlock is A. Make sure you have PeerBlock on. And
update it. Let it update every time you turn it on.
Yep. Get a VPN. We use Bola, and Bola works perfectly. It's quick. It's easy. And now they even have...
There's a link on our site, too.
Right. And now there's a U.S. routing, which I find is really important because one of the things I use when I'm torrenting is sometimes I look for music, and so I'm trying to find out what music I want, and I want it for an American audience, like I'm trying to do it for DJing
like
and
if you
like
go
that.
When you're going through like a German server from the list... And you're using Google, you're going to get German results.
Right, right. And I don't want German results. I don't want to know the popular songs in Munich. I want to know popular songs. Right. But luckily Bolin now has that to where, you know, it says it's beta, but it's worked perfectly for me, the US routing. And I have those two things on at the same time, and then my computer works like normal. Like I don't even notice barely any slowing down. All the computers in the house can work just fine, and I can torrent to my heart's content.
Yep. Worms. So yeah, go to our site, go over to the right and click on the link to Bola VPN and sign up for it. And it helps us if you do that. We don't get money for it. We get free VPN for telling people to do that. So rock and roll. Yeah, totally. And, you know, but basically I want our stuff to be around. I'm convinced it's good, and enough several thousand people listen to it regularly, and enough hundreds of people have written to us and said, I was a statist and I heard you and now I'm convinced. And someone just said in the pod, in the chat room, they listen to us constantly. And you know, someone just said, yeah, I started with Alex Jones and then I found you and now I listen to you guys constantly. And I say it's libertarian reindoctrination media and it's fun.
Well, you know? You got to use his wording because it's really clever.
Okay.
He switched from fear to fiends.
I like that. I like that a lot.
I like that a lot. Yeah.
So BitTorrent is a perfect way to do that. I mean, even if everyone just downloaded us without BitTorrent and had us on their hard drive, I mean, a lot of people would have us, but they wouldn't have a way to turn it on instantly and share it with everybody in the world. And BitTorrent is the way to do that. It's a peer-to-peer program. Now, here's an interesting thing about BitTorrent. I have heard copyright owner type people call BitTorrent a socialist or communist program. It's completely the opposite. It is a free market, or as you say, market program. It's an anarcho-capitalist product.
Completely.
Because BitTorrent works the opposite the way of a website server works. Now, if you go to thefreedomfiends.com, and we encourage people to do this all day long, we would love the quality problem of so many hits on there that it shuts us down temporarily and we have to buy more server space. We used to have that problem because we were on a crappy internet company. We were DreamHost was our server, and they suck. Then we moved over to HostGator, who rock. And if you want to have a web server or run a podcast, I recommend going there and go click on the affiliate link on our site for that too, for HostGator over on the right, because that helps us too. But when you download stuff from, you know, like large files, like a media file from a web server, from a website, the more people that are downloading it at once, the more it slows down and taxes the server. Whereas with BitTorrent, the more people who are downloading at once, it speeds it up for everybody. So it's like the free market. It's like the market where people are giving something for something else in a free exchange and everybody's happier. Whereas
it's
socialist,
a win-win situation, right? It's not a zero-sum game.
Right.
It's an increase your wealth kind of a game.
It's an infinite-sum game.
Infinites. There you go. And the reason why is because it's completely decentralized, spontaneous, completely anarchist or market rather than controlled, centralized, planned. No, it's whatever's popular will have the most seeders because it'll have the most people who downloaded it, and then it'll be the fastest to download and it'll get more popular.
Yep. So, you know, we have a couple plans for doing this. One is we're talking about it nonstop. We have ads for it. We have blog posts about how to do it. Go to the Fiend site, freedomfiends.com, FEENS.com. Click on the Torrent Club link and follow directions there. And there's an incentive because you'll get episodes before everyone else. Like today's episode, this live show, we're going to put out in a couple hours on BitTorrent, but we're not going to put it out on the podcast till tomorrow. So the torrenters will get it a day early. We do have an RSS feed, and we tell you how to put it into your torrent program so it automatically downloads. And sometimes with the Anarchy Gumbo, you get stuff a week or two ahead. Like the Mojo Nixon interview is up now on the torrents. It's not going to be out till 5 days from now on the website. So there's that incentive. But also, literally, it is activism, because every time you seed the fiends, the state dies a little bit, because every time you seed the fiends, more people have more availability to the fiends media, and people discover it all the time for the first time. Some, you know, kid in Germany, some kid, some guy in Cleveland, some lady in Canada, you know, someone, this week we've had people torrenting from South America, Saudi Arabia, Germany, Japan, all over the world, in places where like they probably can't even access our website, like Iran. Like that guy, you know, gets us via torrent. And it really increases the like drone proofing of the Fiends. The more people that are seeding it and downloading each new episode, when the government finally decides to turn off our switch, the Fiend switch, either by, you know, shutting down our websites or a bullet to the brain or sticking us in a dark hole in some place where we can't talk to a lawyer or our families, the Fiends will still be out there. And when that happens, you'll hear about it if you're into other Liberty media. I mean, people will talk about that. And that's when you go 24/7 and you go like, you know, I would, if that happened to us and it was someone else, I'd go rent seed boxes and seed it 24/7. And we rent a seed box and someone donates a seed box. One's in Germany, one's in the Netherlands. And it's good to have them in different physical locations. And a seed box is a torrenting program and, you know, archive of media that's set up somewhere that's on, that's not from a home DSL line, it's from like a T1 line at a server company. So it's really fast. And my experience with seeding is the more you initially seed something, the more it's going to be around years later when you've stopped seeding, the more seeds there will be. I had that experience with Submission and Coffee in 2006. My wife and I did this sex podcast, and I also put up some of my books and a few other things and things by other people. And not everything I did I seed from my home computer. And I was like the initial seeder 24/7. And I had that kind of seeding the Uverse. It was like $100 a month. I paid extra for it. It's like three times as fast as DSL. And literally like a year of seeding that stuff, all that stuff is still available on BitTorrent, on Pirate Bay, on KAT.ph, any of those sites, because we torrented it, because I torrented it initially for a year strongly. One person. Now, if 10 people are doing it now, but if like 30 or 40 or 50 people do it, it would be so unstoppable. And that's what we're trying to encourage more people to do. That's why I torrent. That's why we torrent. And I want to thank Shane Duvali, because he's our torrent guy. Literally, like every time we put up an episode, he's subscribed by email on our site. You can do that as well as RSS feed. And he gets an email. He downloads the thing and he puts it up on torrent on both our seed boxes. He tweets it. He puts it on cat.php, cat in the Philippines. It's kickasstorrents.php. And then all the other torrent sites pick it up from there. And we're getting so many listeners who would never, ever stumble across our website because of that. So every time you seed the Fiends, the state dies a little. That's why I do it. I mean, I don't look at this as disposable media. It's not the newspaper of the day. It's the great American novel of the day. It's the great stateless novel of the day. And I want it to be around in 1,000 years, and y'all can help.
Amen. Amen. Let's well said.
Yep. Can you play a song? Can we take a tiny break and play a little bit of a song?
I'm not routed through the mixer, no.
Okay. Do you want to take a break? You want to talk?
Yeah, go ahead and stop the recording. We'll take a little break.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe! It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features, and corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity.
assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Okay, go ahead.
I was going to take a break. That was the whole point. Saying that stuff because I didn't think it needed to be recorded. Okay. But did you listen to the Ben Stone interview with, I think his name was Randall Perry?
No. But he is a guy that's helping write a Fiends cast right now on doing encrypted email. It's not up yet, but.
Ah, yeah. Yeah, he seems to be the guy for it. I listened to that interview with him on the Bad Quaker, and it was really amazing. He does stuff like that, but he seems to be like a problem solver. Like, that's his thing. And one of his hobbies, businesses right now, or I don't know if it's a business, but it seems like something he's recently started is hidden solutions that are really cool for hiding things and having them accessible. Like I said, gun racks that come out, that pop out of the back of your couch or in a hidden wall and you just press a button, things like that. And it's really cool to hear him talk about all his ideas and his stuff. So I would just wanted to plug that while you were out going cool. Pee Pee Kitty.
Now you go Pee Pee Kitty and I'm going to talk. I'm not going to record. I'm not that interesting without you.
I'll be right back.
How long? Okay. All right. We're recording.
We're recording. Yeah.
Basically,
for those
the reason
who missed it live, I did want to give one more little pitch. So it's on the archive. Go listen to I think it's Randall Perry on the Bad Quaker. Didn't really know who he was when I saw it on the show notes of the Bad Quaker website. But listen to it, and I do highly recommend it. It's a really interesting podcast, and the guy does some cool things. Talks about security and different ways to hide things and spirit them away, I guess, and keep them safe from the bad guys. Like I said during the break, you know, gun racks that pop out of nowhere at the press of a button. And here was a cool thing too. Setting up a tiny microphone, and you can have a secret knock, like, you know, or I wouldn't
do
something that obvious. Don't use that one at all.
And a haircut, two bits.
But that you get the idea. Secret knock, the microphone, and then it's guy. I forget what he calls it, but some kind of program that can actually recognize the pattern, and then we'll unlock it for you. Because that's kind of a cool thing too, right? And it could be a secret wall, like a Batman kind of thing, or a book.
Yeah, although if you do any of that with any way for anybody to track it, but via purchases. When they come raid your house, they will rip your house to pieces with pitchforks and jackhammers.
Because they know, yeah.
Yeah, well, and they have dogs that can smell. They have dogs that can smell guns as well as drugs, but guns, literally. Yeah. Like if there's a gun behind the wall, they can smell it. Although we know how well sniffing dogs work percentage wise, but
so I guess pay for things in bitcoins if you're paying them online, and pay for things in cash if you're buying them in person.
And Bitcoin stuff, you'd have to really work at having it anonymous, even doing it online. Like, you know, if you ever use we've blown it with the addresses that we use. We'd have to set up new ones to be anonymous because, you know, I created and checked it and downloaded it without using a VPN. We didn't have one yet then. And I've checked our Bitcoin level online. You know, there's a place to do that. And I've posted it on our site and talked about BitTorrent a lot. You know, if you want to be anonymous, you do things quietly, own guns quietly. You know, if you're that, okay, you wanted a tip from Claire Wolf's book. Don't do the illegal thing that you are advocating shouldn't be illegal publicly. Don't be, and we've said that before in a different way.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be an agorist and an activist. You can't be someone who works in the underground economy and doesn't pay taxes by, you know, as what you do, and be the guy having the radio show saying, don't pay taxes. You know, you will get busted eventually. So, I mean, basically what she said, the example she used actually describes me. I don't know if she was describing me, but she knows our whole deal and she loves our Guns and Weed movie. She said, you know, don't be a pro marijuana activist and deal weed on the side. I don't even smoke weed on the side. Yeah. I don't smoke weed, but you know, there need to be more people like me who don't do any drugs or ever have drugs in their house who are adamantly and publicly pro get rid of the drug war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. I suppose that is a really good piece of advice. I mean, I guess they do deal with Stacey Litz, and that was a very bad example of what to be on tons of different levels. But yeah, that's one of them. Is she's completely pro and pro non-aggression, anti-drug war, and apparently was dealing drugs and then snitched when she got caught. So don't be Litz. Don't Litz it up.
Litz it up.
Dun,
Litz it up. That's my Litz function.
Don't be a Litz.
Don't be a Litz. Yeah, somebody was saying yesterday you really want to make Litz into a verb, and I think that's good. Man, he got Litzed.
Yeah, yeah. The Litz mob. Avoid the Litz mob.
Yeah. The Litz mob. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. So, it's the Fiends, and
it's the Fiends.
Welcome. We're live and recording all on our own without the curry and without the LRN. So,
yeah, I feel I'm not, my stomach doesn't hurt from the curry like it did on the Curry show, which basically we were on Adam Curry's network doing our live show with a chat before, and I would end up just like tensed up and like, you know, I couldn't poo for a day afterwards. I was so like, I mean, that's kind of exaggeration, but I literally would end up with like a backache from doing that show because it was so stressful trying to get his web gnomes to press the button to put us on live. We're supposed to go on at a certain time. An hour later, we'd finally go live. And it was just insanely frustrating. And I'm not bashing him publicly. I guess I'm bashing his web gnomes or maybe him for choosing them and letting them run his thing. But I guess they were beta testing something new, but, and they're programmers. If they couldn't, computer programmers, which may be part of the problem because they wrote their whole system to do it, where we're using off the shelf software and it's working. And Ian Freeman uses off the shelf software. He's not a computer programmer and it works. And, you know, the Curry Network, it's like, I didn't want to be the beta test for it. You know, I mean, I think at this point we're good enough and we're doing great radio and people tell us that all the time. To where, why do we need to be on someone else's? You know, we had a few more listeners on there, but their listeners didn't like us anyway, man. They'd argue with us.
Some of them did. We seem to have won Manimal over. He was like, where's the Fiends? I want the Fiends during the last show, which at first he was all like, you guys need to eat a penis or some kind of other trolly type comments.
He said, I'm going
to
be on here trolling you 24/7. But we did win Manimal over. I don't know if he can still find us. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not going to go find him, but he can find us.
There'd be gun grabby people in the chat room. And there was one lady that was, I don't know if she was a left anarcho-leftist, but she seemed to be kind of commie about things. And she was all like, property is theft, and we need to force people to buy the things I want them to buy, which is nothing. In one regard, it's almost like that was mission work, like going to the Curry Network and preaching the gospel of the Fiends. So I kind of thought that was a good thing, but... I don't know, man. It's mainly the technical differences, as you put it, as you coined it, that makes me think. Glad not to have to worry about that kind of stuff anymore.
Yeah. I'm stealing time from the Fiends to. I'm talking with Link Porterfield and Randall Perry, the guys who are writing that. That's your guy, right, Randall Perry? Is that the guy that was interviewed on Ben Quaker?
Let me see.
You don't remember?
You sent me a thing of an old guy named Dr. Kurt Lehovec.
Okay, no, but isn't Randall Perry the guy you were just talking about a minute ago?
I was talking about what you sent me on Pigeons.
Okay, I wanted, this is segueing into something after I tell these people by email, go listen to our show. I want to do an obituary for a friend of mine who died.
Okay.
And his name's Kurt Lehovec, and I just posted a link to it. Kurt Lehovec co-invented the integrated circuit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And, he is, a dude. Hang on. On now. All right.
Did you get stuck in an infinite loop there? Did your
integrated circuit break? Yeah. So Kurt Lohovic died this year at the age 93. I met this cat in LA at an open mic poetry thing where I went to play guitar back before, you know, I figured out what to do with my life. You know, after my popular band broke up and I moved to LA and nobody knew me, and I was like, oh, I guess you start in the coffee shop. So I went to this open mic and played and kicked ass, and nobody liked it because it wasn't funny and it was dark and it was, you know, it wasn't what you play at open mics to please people. Kurt Lohovic was, you know, he died at 93 this year. I just found out he died, but he was probably 80 something. This was about 10, 12 years ago. And he was reading from his self-published book of love poems. I thought it was so sweet. It was this old man with like holes in his shoes, you know, Czechoslovakian accent. He's from Czech Republic. And I went to his house and I hung out with him, and he was really interesting. I liked him. And he was on a, first of all, he co-invented the integrated circuit, the thing that runs everything in the world now, everything great and everything horrible. And he was paid $1 to do it, which I don't think is a bad thing, because he was under contract from Honeywell Corporation in the 50s. And he was making a good bit, you know, making good money there. And he had benefits, retirement benefits from them. But it was one of those things of like, you know, you get it. If you make something we can patent, we pay you a dollar so we can say we own the patent. So he invented the, I think it was the PNP layer. He solved some problem that enabled or created integrated circuits.
P-N junction isolation.
Yeah.
According to Wiki, I'm not smart like that.
But right.
That's what Wiki says.
But I met him and he was reading these really sweet, kind of almost childlike, but pretty good, like love poetry at this thing. And I talked to him afterwards, and you know, as he explained to me, he'd invented the integrated circuit. And at first I thought he's trying to scam me. And then I talked to him a little more and understood that he knew what he was talking about. I knew enough to know he wasn't lying. And then I looked him up and found a picture of him on the internet. I'm like, oh, that is him. The guy had holes in his shoes. Like, the guy who invented the integrated circuit and revolutionized the world had holes in his shoes because he couldn't afford better shoes. Then I hung out with him a few more times, took him out to dinner. He took me out to dinner once, you know, bought me dinner, steak restaurant at a Sizzler. And I went over to his house, and he owned his house. He lived in half of it. And the other half of it was really nice and like fixed up and painted and plastered and had everything, you know, running water, internet, whatever. And he had homeless people living there. He was letting them live there. And then he lived in the other side of the house in a hovel. I mean, literally like in piles of newspapers everywhere. It was dirty. It was really strange to me. And it was very giving of him. Now, I've read interviews with him since where he kind of sounded commie. Like, I think anybody who makes over $100,000 a year should be forced to, he didn't say like taxed, but he said like forced to use it to create service. Basically, I guess a little less like central planning, but you get to be charitable with it, you know, which is kind of weird. But he was a really nice guy and a really cool cat. And there's a picture of him I took that's all over the internet. That is like the picture of him, which is kind of cool. Like, there weren't a lot of pictures of the guy, you know, older, but the picture of him that most people repost is a picture I took in my living room, which is kind of cool.
It's the one on this Kurt Hovel or Kurt Lohovic.
Hovel was the president of the Czech Republic. This guy was from Czechoslovakia. He left, you know, fearing the Nazi threat. He wasn't Jewish, as far as I know, but, you know, everybody who had an ability that was useful elsewhere that could get out did, that was smart, you know, so he came to America and you know, like Dr. Strangelove, one of those like scientists plucked from Germany by America. But he wasn't like Dr. Strangelove. Yeah. Where's the picture? Let me post the picture.
Post it in the chat room so I know which picture you're talking about. Cause you sent to,
here is to the me. Picture and I'll post this in the, show it's notes. Actually a screenshot from a mini DV camera. I wanted to make a documentary about the guy, and I was talking to him about doing it, but he actually was like, well, I've been screwed before and you're gonna have to pay me all this money. And I'm like, okay, well, no. Not that I wouldn't want to cut him in on it, but just like he started making demands. He'd been screwed. I guess he felt screwed by that thing, you know. So
by getting paid a dollar, inventing computers.
Yeah. Now a really interesting thing is there's a fan site made up of him. It's kurtlehovic.info, I think.
Uh-huh.
It's in this list here. It has an Alexa ranking of no rank. So like the guy who invented the internet, the thing that invented the world of the internet and the computers and drones and podcasts, his website has no views. That's kind of sad. So I just wanted to take a minute and bump up his Alexa ranking a little bit by putting him in, linking him and talking about him. And, you know, like, hey, he's my friend and he died. And I just found out, like, you know, he died like January, February this year. So Kurt Lehovic, I tip my pod hat to you.
Should we read one of his poems maybe?
Did you find one? They're awesome. They're quaint.
They're on the kurtlehovic.info. There's links to his six books of poetry.
Read one. They're awesome.
Let's see. Okay, so I'm going to hopefully it actually gives you the poems here instead of... Oh, yeah, here you go. Okay, so do you want me to read from Facets of Love, Poems About Poets and Poetry, A Modern Genesis, Nature Poems, Soul, God, and Buddha?
Read a short one from each of the first two. Read a love poem and then one about poets, if there's a short one of each. And if not, we got time. We got bites on the internet.
Okay.
Use all the bites.
Facets of Love, sample poems.
Can we pull a reverb on?
Yeah. Well, I don't have my
okay, read it, man. Read it. Right.
Ecstasy and tragedy. My ecstasy and tragedy, which I have never told. My heart remained young while my body grew old. I closed my eyes and remember young girls dancing away. My aching heart in November longs for its lost loves of May. Aww, isn't that cute? All right. That was from his love poems, and then we'll do one from Poems About Poets and Poetry, which is a very poetic name, I think. All right. We're beginning to sound like NPR.
Yeah. I like this. I mean, everybody else who's doing Liberty Cast today is probably like screaming about how the government is trying to put someone in jail for protesting drones. And we're talking about the love poetry of the man who invented the internet without, you know, who really invented the internet and got paid a dollar and died with holes in his shoes.
Well, here's, speaking of the internet, here's a poem from his poetry book about poets and poems. It's called An Internet Tidbit. Lonely poet looks for letters which express your heart's desire for an everlasting friendship which we will not let expire. And your letter will be answered with the poem from my heart as a seed for something deeper, as a seed for love's start. If you respond with the poem, which is humorous and teases, I will answer with the poem, hoping it also pleases. You may answer, and so on, and so we shall proceed, two poets exchanging tidbits. And who knows where this will lead? Aw, nice. Sounds like it's about chatting, you know, or exchanging any info over the internet.
I wonder if he got on the internet and said, "Are there any sexy girls out there? I invented the internet. I invented the internet. Really, I did. I mean, he did way more than Al Gore did, you know."
Yeah. Al Gore just directed different people to steal different money and told them what to do with it. Even if he did that, I don't even know, man. Or he's just a liar. Yep. Probably more likely the case.
Did you click on that picture of him?
Yeah.
I did a little video interview with him. I don't have the video interview anymore, but it was done. That was in my crappy studio apartment I lived in before I met DJ.
Yeah, I can see the broken mirror there.
Plucked me out of obscurity. Yeah, I didn't break it. It came like that. Yeah. Well, I lived there for a while.
It came like that. I went to the broken mirror store. So.
No, the apartment came like that.
We accept the bad luck for you.
The broken mirror store.
Pass on the discount to you.
I love that. Yeah. Well, I did live in that apartment for 7 years. And I wasn't unhappy. And I did a lot of stuff. I wrote all my books and started being a filmmaker and making my living in that crappy Silver Lake, Los Angeles apartment at 1149 North Coronado Street in the upstairs back left apartment, if anyone wants to turn that into a mecca. Or look it up on Google Earth. It actually looks, if you look at 1149 North Coronado on Google Earth and look at the house, it looks really nice now. Like the landlord has done up the whole neighborhood, but don't fool yourself. Like that's a neighborhood where MS-13 tags your house and then the landlord comes by and scrapes it off and paints over it the next day. So
they're just trying to create jobs, Michael.
Who, MS-13 or the land?
The graffitied wall fallacy, right?
All right, so let's talk about
break.
No, what? No, 18 minutes. Got to talk about
18 minutes is a long time. All right,
got to talk about something. Got to talk about something. Okay, homeless man grateful for boots but barefoot again. The guy the cops stole all the money to. He hid his boots because they're so valuable. He's afraid he'll get killed for them, which is really, is that, what does that say about the New York City police's ability to do anything to protect anyone?
What, at least he says he hid them. I mean, who really knows what he did with them? He could have
sold
lost
them for
them.
Crack.
Yeah.
Sold them for a meal. If he sold them for a meal and, you know, bought some cheaper boots, it'll still keep him warm.
Also, check out how entitled he is. Like,
I want money for being on YouTube.
Yeah, I was put on YouTube. He says, I was put on everything without permission. What do I get? This went around the world, and I want a piece of the pie. Buddy, the only pie to be had was the New
boots.
York Police Department giving themselves pats on the back.
He's probably doing better as a panhandler now. There's probably people coming up to him all day long with their iPads going, look, you're on YouTube, and then let me buy you lunch. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. People,
really?
that stuff goes in waves.
I figured they'd be like, man, he already got some boots. Huh? You don't need a dollar. You need a dollar. Sell
in
those boots, you get 100 beers,
in
buddy.
A true free begging market. You know, beggars in America, I mean, I feel bad for anyone that's on the street, especially when it's cold, like in New York, and probably they're there because of the government. I mean, tell how that would work. Explain the non-aggression. But let me say really quickly, in India, people get limbs sawed off to be more pathetic to beg. I mean, that's really, if you're going to beg, man, go all the way. So tell why most people who are homeless, it's because of the government. There's a good non-aggression principle thing, and then we'll take a break.
That's more of an economics thing, I think.
Go ahead,
don't
man.
You?
Okay. Well, because the government aggresses to try to control the economy. They put a gun
there
to the
go.
Head.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's
a lot of people are homeless because they've been arrested for weed or some drug, which is not, you know, taking a drug or selling a drug is not a violent thing. The government does something violent, throws you in jail, takes all your money, takes your house, and then you're unemployable. So you end up homeless. That's mm-hmm. one of the many ways the government makes people homeless.
Yep. Another huge way is war, right? A lot of homeless people are vets of different wars. The Vietnam War is a big one because there was a draft. And that is 100%
people who weren't
aggression.
Ready to be soldiers were made to be soldiers. You know, even if you want to look at it from not a non-aggression principle of the Vietnam War was an act of aggression by the United States and was paid for by aggression by stealing tax money. Okay,
and
all
the
of that
draft itself is aggression. I mean,
even,
it's literally
let's stop it at, you know, that war was aggression, but even if you want to take it from a minarchist standpoint of, well, small government is good, which I like to put on that hat once in a while because most of our new listeners probably are that at best and statist at worst, or, you know, not worst, just on the continuum. So even if you believe that some war is ethical or having a defensive military is ethical, having a draft is not. And even from a purely mm-hmm. economic standpoint of, you know, what's worth doing, a draft is not worth doing because you end up with soldiers who don't want to be soldiers and they are not yep. effective. They get in the way more than they help. They throw grenades on their officers. So that happened a lot in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. They are counterproductive to having a military. And, they end up with really bad mental problems that society more worse than people who want to go in and be soldiers that and society is stuck with the burden of taking care of them.
Yep.
And dealing with them and having them panhandling in front of Macy's and, you know, having to be a puppy parade when a cop gives them a boot paid for with money that's stolen. Now, why is the cop salary stolen money and why is there a gun involved that we don't see?
Yes. So, nobody writes a check to their local police department and sends it every 2 weeks or every month as part of payment for service. The police department is funded completely 100% on stolen money, which I would say taxes are stolen money. The reason I say it's stolen is because it's taken without any kind of voluntary transaction. It is a non-market transaction. There's no market involved whatsoever. The taxes are taken out of your paycheck without you acquiescing to it. And if they aren't directly taken out of your paycheck through withholding, then you are asked to pay them at the end of the year. You must file your taxes. If you don't, eventually the IRS will catch up to you. If you do file and don't pay, eventually the IRS will send you letters and then send men. And so every dollar that gets sent to that cop in his paycheck has been gotten through that means, through a means that was involuntary. It was forcibly taken from people. So his whole check, every money that he spends, everything he buys is spent with stolen money. Conversely, the homeless man, every dollar he got, he most likely got voluntarily. I mean, yeah, I guess maybe he stole something and sold it. That's a possibility. But every dollar given
probably
to him,
not.
Yeah. Well, you never know. But the point I'm making is, if you panhandle, right, and that's your main source of income is panhandling, is asking people, hey, you got some spare change, dollar, alms for the poor, whatever. That's all voluntary. I can look at you and say, no, man, I'm not giving you money. Or I could look at you and say, oh, well, it's a nice sunny day. I'm in a good mood. I just got late. Here's $3. Go get yourself, a McDouble and a fry and a small
and
drink.
And a crack
whatever.
Rock. And a small crack rock.
Crack rock.
You know, I actually wrote...
That's voluntary. So he's... The homeless person actually is doing honest work. He's got an honest job because he's honestly saying, I'm broke. I have no money. Please give me money. The cop is a very dishonest kind of a job because he's saying, I'm doing all this work for you. I must take your money. And look how great I am.
And most of
that.
His work is aggression anyway. Is right. effing right. with people for not doing right. anything violent.
You get money stolen from you to pay for somebody whose job it is to steal more money from you.
Now, I want to segue into one thing, and then we're going to take a break, and I'm going to try to play some music from my iPod. If we want to really streamline this, I can do that when we take breaks. I have it hooked up and ready to go. I'm going to play my band, The Beef People, my punk rock band from 1984, where I played guitar.
Cool.
But I want to say really quick, more on why I have a problem with agorists and libertarians and anarchists who beg for a living. And I don't mind if somebody has an emergency, dying family member or in jail or whatever and asks for money once. But when people make a career out of it, it basically, I think, it's annoying as hell, and it gives a really bad name to the idea of trying to create a counter economy if you're doing it by begging from people who are in the regular economy. And begging in itself does not violate the non-aggression principle, but it's hell of annoying when people say, F the system, I'm not going to work for the man, I'm independent, and then constantly harangue their friends for money and places to stay and things like that. Begging for a living and being an agorist is kind of like being a recovering alcoholic and being a total asshole. A total asshole recovering alcoholic is still sober, but it doesn't make other people want to be. And an agorist who begs all the time isn't violating the non-aggression principle, but he's not making anybody else want to be an agorist. All right, let's play some music. Oh, you got a comment?
I have a little follow-up there.
Go ahead.
I don't want to be too callous because I do understand and am understanding more and more that it can be hard to make an honest living out there. I like to use that term honest living because that's what I'm trying to make for myself. I explained in the last cast how I can't even buy a taxi cab and have my own little taxi cab company and expand it. I can't do that. The government won't let me. There's a monopoly.
You're delivering pizza, which is working in the system, and you know you're taxed, and the food you're delivering is taxed, and the system is regulated.
Even
and
my
car
tips
is taxed.
Are taxed. Even my, my tips are automatically taxed unless they're cash.
But that's completely ethical to me compared to, or that's completely preferable behavior, universally preferable behavior to me than saying, okay, I'm going to drop out of the system and just beg on the internet and couch surf. And in that, let's play some punk rock from 1984.
All right.
Thank you.
Nice. That was going all the way back to, and going all the way back to 1984 there with the Beef People kicked out.
Yeah. So when I was born.
Yeah. Yeah. So is that a picture of you? Is that a picture of a young skinny you?
That's a young Nima, yeah.
Damn, I thought that was Frank, man. Mm-hmm. How long ago was that?
I'm shorter, but my shoulders are broader.
Okay, if you want to know how I did that, I right-clicked on it and did view image and then copied that link instead of the page link. Now, let me ask if there's anybody on here who's not Nima's friend on Facebook. Or do you have your stuff friends only or not?
I don't know, man. Don't remember. Yeah,
I don't remember. So let me check something out here. Let me try. Is there anybody on here who's not on Facebook or not friends with me on Facebook? Let me ask that. And then I will do that trick with a picture of mine that's on Facebook and see if you can see it. So let's see if that works. So I basically opened up the picture and then right clicked on it and then posted that link. You know,
all right, let me try that. Let's see.
Yeah. So right click view image.
Oh, I don't have that. I have save image as, copy image URL. I guess copy image URL would work, huh?
Yeah. 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 Man, all my pictures are pictures of me or pictures people have tagged. I can't find a picture that's.
Okay. Me. Yeah, that worked. Copy image URL works from Google Chrome.
Yeah.
So that's what you do if you want to pick copy image URL.
Man, all my pictures are other people's pictures. I need to find one that's me. So, what are we talking about? What's going on?
Barbies.
Here?
I think we're going to talk about Barbies.
No, I think we should talk about, let's see. Well, there's push to step up domestic use of drones. I don't really want to talk about that. That's not going to be relevant in 100 years.
You don't want to talk about drones?
Because we'll be being broadcast from drones in 100 years. Private drones. Instead of satellite radio, you'll have drone radio. There, let's talk about that. That could work, man. You know, really, I mean, that could work. Yeah. If someone took the how to make a $250 radio station idea off the Freedom Fiend, search that. Make your own Liberty radio station for $250. And put that in a quadricopter, you know, you could fly wherever you want and broadcast and probably evade for a while at least. You know, you wouldn't want any fingerprints on it. You wouldn't want any. I'm not saying people should do illegal things. I'm just saying, you know, everything's stacked against everyone right now to where you have to kind of think like a criminal even if you're not.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know, man.
Quadricopter radio.
They'll have drone-to-drone missiles, though. See, that's the problem with having a government, man. That's it. They will always have more power than the average person due to the nature of them. You know, people like to say, hey, well, people are evil. That's why we can't have a government. And Scott Horton was making fun of that the other day, and he goes, yeah, so why would you give them a government? If people are evil, why would you give them a government? And I've made that argument before, but I think that was pretty succinct. You think people are evil? Yeah, some people are, you know. Apparently, we used to always say it's like 2% of people are sociopaths. Apparently, it's gotten bigger, though. Like in the past 20, 30 years, it's like doubled. Supposedly, it's 4% now, according to people who study those kinds of things. So, yeah, and those people have cover. They have a place to hide in the government and in giant institutions, and they can use the massive power of those things, more power than the average person could ever have. Nobody, not even a big private company, can afford to waste the kind of money it takes to waste in order to build a Predator drone or a Hellfire missile or an F-35 or an F-22 or an aircraft carrier.
Someone said domestic drones. Is that like domestic violence? Yes, but on a massive scale. And domestic violence is generally privately funded. Domestic drones are, you know, domestic violence and domestic drones commit aggression, but only the drones are funded with aggression. Domestic violence is generally, yeah. Oh, that's a bad joke. That's like Tracy Morgan goes into the women's shelter to show his movie, his community, you know, to like, because now he's an Oscar winner, and he says, "Quiet, ladies of the battered women's shelter. A man is speaking." I was watching that last night, and my wife goes, "That's not funny." And I was like, "It kind of is, but it really does push the limit, you know."
I think it's pretty funny.
And she is really one of the most unpolitically correct females I've ever met. And she is like, "That's not funny." Which
if
is
Tracy
the
Morgan says it. It's funny. says can be funny. It's the more offensive. If he says it, the more funny.
Nice.
But okay, so yeah, domestic violence, right? Like the guy who shot his dad with a bow and arrow the other day. That was domestic violence. Imagine if this psychopath who did that, who killed his own dad with a bow and arrow, or tried to with a bow and arrow, and when that failed, stabbed him to death. Imagine, and it's not hard to imagine. Imagine he worked his way up from a beat officer who regularly beat people to police chief, to some kind of politician.
All the people.
What? Just imagine if instead of a bow and arrow, he had a predator drone at his disposal. Something massive like that. Imagine he had an aircraft carrier, nuclear weapon.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of weapons.
Doomsday device a la Dr. Strangelove.
Yeah. Those kind of devices don't exist or don't really get created in the absence of a government. I don't see how they can, because they're so unbelievably cost ineffective and ridiculous. Who's going to spend billions of dollars on something that they plan on never using? You know?
Yeah.
It's not a market transaction, and I don't think you'd have that kind of action or good in a real market.
Okay, so nice. Okay, Mark in Canada says he can see the cat photo. I just did the right click copy link location trick for a picture on Facebook that I have marked as friends only, but if you just get the image. So if people want to, if they're on Facebook and they want to share a picture on here, and if it doesn't get out of hand to where like we can't even, you know, chat on here. I guess I'm putting limits on our anarchy here, but it's our property, so I can.
It's our property.
You know, you can post pictures that way. What I usually do is upload them to the Fiends with FTP and then copy the link location. But
yes, so you can either start your own website.
Yeah, which
or
you know,
you can do it like we said earlier.
I kind of would like to encourage people to use the Fiends chat when we're not here. You know, basically the only rule is don't get us droned. No talking about, you know, violence or, well, I guess other people's violence. We talk about that all day long, but no talk about like anything that's going to get a knock at my door or get us knocked offline. So, and you will be banned promptly. And if I need to, I'll add more admins if that starts happening. So we can have, people 24/7 moderating if it gets popular. But get off Facebook and get on the Fiends chat, man. It's free. It's fun. You can do most things you can do on Facebook, except get hassled by strangers because we control it.
There you go.
Preach to the choir, brother. Preach to the choir.
Well, I guess you could do this with just more than Facebook, right? Any image on the internet, you just right click and copy URL is what Google has it. And I guess yours says view. View image.
Yeah.
What do you use? And Firefox?
Well, actually, I can do copy image location, but I did view image and then copy location. But yeah, I mean, there's some people, some webmasters and companies that set things up so you can't embed or do that with photos. You know, they want a closed system. They don't understand how the internet works. But with most sites, you can do what we just did. Just right click on the picture. I don't know what you do in that would even work in Linux. I don't know what you do in Mac. I think you, you know, Macs are so superior, everyone says, but I think you like control FR6D / middle click. I don't know.
No, I think it would be the same way. You would do your right click, which I think is Apple.
There used to be just one button on.
There still is, but there's a keyboard button you can press.
Yeah,
that can do the same function as right click. I think it's either Command or Apple or something like that.
I really hate when people tell me. I really hate whenever I do something, ask a question on the internet about Windows, about how do you do this in Windows, and idiots go, get a Mac. I'm like, fuck you. Okay, if someone tells me to get Linux, they're not helping me at that moment with my problem I'm having, you know, and I'm usually under a deadline trying to produce some media, and it's like, I don't care what operating system I'm on. I'm not fucking Richard Stallman, but don't tell me to get a Mac, because you're telling me to get something that costs more, is more clunky, doesn't work as well, is made for consuming media rather than creating media. And you're just jumping on a bandwagon because you think you're one of the cool kids. Mac is not better than PC. They're both run by giant oppressive corporations that take money from the government and use the monopoly of the government. But PC shit works for me, and Mac shit, like you can't even do stuff on an iPad that you can do anywhere on the, you can't use the internet right on it. And Richard Stallman said it right. Richard Stallman said, I'm glad Steve Jobs is dead. I was happy when I heard Steve Jobs died because Steve Jobs made the internet. Hey, he made jail cool. That was the quote. And I didn't say when I said that quote before that I forgot to say that he said, I was happy when I heard Steve Jobs died, which really pissed a lot of people off. I don't care. Anybody can be glad anybody's dead.
There are some benefits to producing. I don't know if they're benefits, but Final Cut Pro. There are some things on Mac, some Mac programs that work well. I did really enjoy Final Cut. Premiere is almost just as good. Maybe I just like Final Cut because I'm more used to it. But the thing is, those were my work computers. Like, I don't think I'd ever personally buy a Mac because I can't afford to shell out a ton of money whenever it gets old to buy a new Mac.
What was that giant internet company running their Ubuntu on? Macs or PCs? What hardware?
PCs.
Of course they were, because they are a company that works with the bottom line. And
Yeah. You know, I guess if you can afford to blow a bunch of money on a Mac and then be limited, very much more limited in the software you can use, and how you acquire that software, which to me is the big thing. Then yeah, I guess Mac can be a preference, but I'm kind of with you. You know, I do things on a tight budget, and I feel like with a PC, even as opposed to Linux, with the PC, it's sort of a happy middle. It's not a whole lot of work. I don't have to know a lot of computer or technical ins and outs. I have to know a few, but not a lot. And I'm very good at acquiring software at little to no cost to me, and pimping it and making it work well. You know that.
And everybody says, "Well, Linux, all the software is free," but they don't have a lot of stuff I need. Like basically, I don't use computers. To be cool, you know, it's a means, not an end to me. The computer I'm using, I don't need to make a statement about open source freeware by using only Linux. I want to use the stuff that works and allows me to speak to the most thousand people as possible from my windowless bunker at Nerdson Air Base in Wyoming, as possible. Burbleson Air Base. Basically, okay, I was going to use my Linux box for one of my, for part of the podcast. I was going to use it because they have Mumble for it. The thing is, my mixer, nobody has made a driver or whatever you have on Linux for my mixer. It's an older mixer, but it kicks ass. I have no reason to replace it. You know, I'd have to go spend $300 on a new mixer so I could use my $50 computer to run Linux and be able to say, I'm producing this podcast on Linux. No, I have an old XP computer it works with. Why would I want to change that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the same way, you know. Maybe I don't know enough about Linux, and I do plan on – I have a dead computer that I think Puppy Linux maybe killed. I don't know about that 100%. But I think I'm going to do Ubuntu on it eventually and play around with it. I kind of want to try Ubuntu Studio. Maybe it'll work great. I don't know. Right now, though, I like to use programs that everybody else uses, if anything, because when you make your own media and you're trying to do things, sometimes you hear or see something in somebody else's media and you're like, huh, I wonder how they did that. I'd really like to recreate that in my own art. You can go to YouTube, click on it, and or type something in, and I guarantee you'll find yourself a tutorial, probably for the same program. That's a walkthrough, step by step. I don't know how many there are for Linux type media creator. I mean,
there is a video editor, but someone's saying, "Hey, you could use the video editor on." No, it's not as good as Adobe Premiere. You know, it's not. It's not. I've tried it. It's not. And I know Adobe Premiere inside and fucking out. Why would I want to spend time learning a whole new program when I've spent years getting really good at Premiere? You know, why? And I'm not going to go to Windows 8. Windows 8 sucks. I'm going to stay at Windows 7. And the computer that we're talking to each other on is a Windows XP with 1 gig of RAM. It's a laptop that would probably cost you $80 or $100 on eBay right now. And I can get a replacement on eBay when this one dies.
Yeah. No, I guess I was wrong. I guess there is a lot of tutorials for Linux Multimedia Studio, which is their beat producing thing. But I guess you're right. Yeah, I've spent years and years learning the programs I use now. I don't know. I feel like an old man when I say that, though. So I don't know. I guess it's just my preference right now is Windows using the programs I have, and that might change in the future, but it hasn't changed yet.
And, somebody said, so I said, there's no Linux video editor that's better than Adobe Premiere. And someone said, run it in Wine, LOL, which is like the Windows emulator for Linux. And I'm like, oh, that's going to work well, running an extremely memory intensive program within an emulator on Linux. They're joking. They're joking, though. But Anna does, someone says, Adobe makes great stuff. It's just so damn expensive. And the thing is, and this is kind of a unique situation, I get Adobe stuff free because I'm a tech writer. But not everybody can do that. You know, it's kind of like I have to like rethink things. Like when I was doing the gun training video with Jared, you know, his thing was like basically always be armed at home. And he was like, you know, we filmed a segment of like hiding the gun under your towel to protect it from the moisture in the bathroom while you're showering. And I said, you know, but he also showed like him holster carrying around the house all the time. And I'm like, I don't do that. I like to wear sweatpants around the house. And, you know, I have 15 loaded guns hidden around my house and there's no kids ever come in my house and the cats can't pull the triggers. And he's like, and I'm like, let's just say that. And that was such a, he's like, you know, Michael, not everybody can afford 15 guns. And it was just this total, like, let them eat cake kind of moment. And I was like, okay, yeah, yeah. Okay. That's why I collaborate with smart people, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I guess I would say something else too, but I don't like to encourage things like that.
What? Say well, a friend of a friend you heard about in a magazine.
A friend of a friend says pretty much any software you might be able to get for free if you're smart enough on the internet without having
but
to
write Nima, using BitTorrent with
I
a
didn't say that.
With using BitTorrent with a VPN running PeerBlock and searching a website other than Google that won't track you, like startpage.com, to find things to torrent using private browsing is illegal.
Yes.
You like how I did that?
I did. And my response is just yes.
Yeah.
We'll let the fiends go from there. Somebody asked if Adobe Premiere is in the Fiends RSS torrent feed.
Ah, no. No, it's not. It's only stuff we own. Legal sense of the word of what the government thinks. Yeah. They're legal torrents that will soon become illegal when they outlaw free speech. Yeah. I don't know what a what CD is. I guess that's probably a CD that has every torrent in the world on it or something. That's, you know, another thing we're going to start doing is when we release the, like, 5-episode archives of batches of Anarchy Gumbo and the 10-episode batches of Freedom Fiends. You know, we release each one individually, but also release archives of a bunch of them every 5 and 10 episodes, 5 for Anarchy Gumbo and 10 for the Fiends, which may annoy some people. They might go, oh my God, I'm getting too many things. But you can actually set up filters in your RSS feed in the program to like not download certain things, or just set it up so it doesn't automatically download everything and just download the things you want from the feed. But we're going to start putting the torrent, the RSS feed XML file as it stands at that point each time in that. So it's going to be like 10 Fiends episodes and a little tiny XML file. Because if we get droned, people aren't going to have access to our file anymore. But that XML file, people could email or hand around on USB drives or whatever. And still torrent, because torrenting used to work where it had to reach trackers, which were sites like Pirate Bay and whatever, but they can shut most of those down, except Pirate Bay, who just seemed fucking unstoppable, and I tip my pirate hat to them for that. But now they work with magnet links, which is what we're posting in RSS feed. It's just a long string of numbers, like 128 numbers or something, and letters. And that works without a central tracker. It works a little slower connecting, but once it's connected to other torrents, it works. So it's literally decentralized, literally unstoppable by central scrutinizer and central planning. The only way to really stop it would probably be to shut off all the power, which I don't think they're going to do.
Kill all the power.
Yeah.
They need the power themselves. Although
They could have power without us having power, but then all the slaves
The grid is smart enough to where the White House could still have its movie screening room and its bowling alley and the rest of us.
And the drone factories.
Make fires in the fireplaces.
And the drone factories.
And the drone factories,
But, you know, starving cattle, you can't really take much from them for long. So they don't want us starving like that and in the dark and freezing and complaining and, you know, the guns they haven't been able to be confiscated being used against their people, which is what would happen if they tried to throw us back to the Stone Age. I'm not saying I'd shoot anybody, but somebody would. You know, don't you think if they cut off all the power and couldn't lie their way out of it and say the Iranians did it, like if the government actually just cut everybody's power except for government buildings and, you know, Dick Cheney's secret underground bunker. Don't you think it would be open season on cops in inner cities? And don't you think it'd be open season on government people in you know, redneck places? I mean, I'm not saying it's a good thing, but
I would say if they couldn't lie their way out of it, then
say Iran did it. And I guess if they turned the power off, it'd be hard to convince people otherwise via the internet. Right. That's another reason we need to convince as many people now. So when something like that happens, they'll just go, oh, the government did this to fuck with me.
Yeah, that's the main thing is getting people to not believe their lies, because that's the only reason they have the amount of power they have now is because enough people buy into it. There's enough horizontal enforcement. There's the obedience that is the other end of the coin. You can have you can be as tyrannical as you want in your heart, but if nobody will obey you, then you're just the guy that's the bum on the street that cops buy shoes for.
Yeah, I mean literally like. If, you know, if every Jew who owned a handgun had shot every soldier that came into their house to try to take them away to the camps, or even, you know, hit them with a hammer or broke a chair over their head, as Solzhenitsyn said, it wouldn't have worked, man. I mean, a lot of people would have died on the spot, but a lot more people wouldn't have died in the camps.
Oh, well, here's another thing. The government owns the roads, right? And statists are always like, well, who will build the roads?
Roads.
All right. So here's the thing.
I just fell down a wormhole of roads.
Right. Here's the thing about obedience, right? If the roads were private, you wouldn't even need in that scenario where the Jews should have shot the soldiers coming through their doors. The roads were private. The road owner would just be like, I'm not letting your blitzkrieg war machine on my road. Screw you guys.
Which is why
it'll tear up my concrete and my asphalt.
Which is why the government pass. Which is why the government wants drones, because it just gets away from all that.
Yeah.
Drones. But who would build the drones?
Who would build the
without
drones?
Without the government. Private industry that would not be violent.
Yeah. Who would molest my grandma without the government?
Without the TSA. Yeah. All right. Let's take a little here. Let me cue up some music here. And let's take another little sales break. We can say break. It's our show.
It's our show.
Let's see. Did I play this song yet? Let's see. Did I play this? No, I didn't. This is side B. More beef people.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lol at?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Have you swallowed too much of the state's poison? The Freedom Fiends will stick their fingers down your throat and hold your hair back while you hurl. Check out the new show, The Freedom Fiends Agenda, on Freedom Fiends Radio. Click on the blue listen link at freedomfiends.com, streaming live every Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. East Coast U.S. time on Freedom Fiends Radio at freedomfiends.com. The Freedom Fiends Agenda is Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati's fun and feisty chat about market anarchy, self-defense, real money, the digital police state, activism, DIY media, sex pets, and rock and roll. Call in soon before they get droned. Live studio number 307-215-5171 or via Skype to username kittyfeet1. Listen live at freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today. Delicious dish. Hi, Nima. How you doing there?
Hey.
Hi.
How you doing?
Yeah, that was that last one was our version of Jimi Hendrix's Fire, done in the punk style of the day, which the Chili Peppers released 3 years later in 87 in the style of the day. Pretty much like that. I mean, I almost think they heard us do
the
it
same,
somewhere.
The same cover? Or the same
Hendrix
song?
Yeah, done the same way. I think they may have heard a copy of us or something doing it. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, because we did get some college radio play, so someone probably turned it on to them. Maybe. Or maybe they just went, hey, this song's pretty good, but should be faster.
Yeah, yeah.
Like we did.
Yeah. What was the... I guess that's just the style of the day, and music is, you know, cyclical in
the
style.
It was the style of the day. So, I want to talk more about the TSA. Yeah.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah.
Yep. I was thinking about, you know, my dad, when he was out here visiting me, my 91-year-old dad, I took him shooting, and he had just the greatest time we've had in a long time. And he did pretty damn well for a 91-year-old guy on a 29-degree freezing sweat snow day shooting a 22 at 25 yards. He did really well. And we had his target, and we saved it, folded it up, dried it out, folded it up, and he had it in his luggage. And when he got back to New York State, it was gone. TSA stole it out of his luggage. Or somebody did, but they're... I mean, aren't they the only people that are supposed to have access to your luggage? They damn well better be if they're doing what they say they're doing, because otherwise somebody could put, you know, something in there that they're trying to stop. So really, the TSA are the only people supposed to have access to it, and they stole his target. You know, a lot of the TSA, people from the TSA steal a lot of shit. I mean, somebody was arrested from the TSA for stealing $100,000 worth of jewelry and things out of luggage over a year's period of time.
Yep, happens all the time. Not that much, but...
A target isn't intrinsically worth much. It was worth sentimentally a lot to him. But I was also thinking, like, do you think there's a directive somewhere from, like, Cass Sunstein of like, anything gun-related that isn't expensive enough to file an insurance claim on, just steal? Like, you don't want to have that. We don't want you to have this. This sends a bad message. Hmm. We don't want people to be able to shoot well. We're going to take this to try to nudge you into compliance.
Maybe. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. There's an attack on the idea, even the concept of guns. And I fear that it's working to some extent. I mean, as far as from a horizontal enforcement point of view, there are young people who watch movies where people have guns and listen to music where people talk about guns, and yet they think anybody who has a concealed carry permit is fat, old, white, and racist. And they think they're just stupid and silly. To why would you need a gun? What are you going to do? Save the day, Mr. Superhero Man?
I'm fat, white, old, and pretty not racist. And I can prove that I have friends who aren't white that I shoot with, because it's in the Guns and Weed
movie. It's in our movie.
The scene that you called Michael's Rainbow Militia, or what did you call it? It was you who were Middle Eastern, and a black friend of ours, and me, like, it looks like we're doing a firing squad. I'm like, ready, fire. And you can't see what we're shooting at. And we're three abreast shooting. And then we do it like five times with,
Let's
you know,
see. It's in the calendar. Oh, the Freedom Fiends Transcontinental Militia.
Yeah.
Asia, yeah. Europe, and Africa. I guess it would be the old world trans.
Which I called show. Michael's Brown Army.
Michael's Brown Army, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Nice, yeah. Nice. Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe there is some kind of ass sunscreen directive or something. I don't know if it's as planned or as concerted as that, but it's definitely a theme or a meme in the government. Did you see this thing that some city is – ask, they're doing one of those gun buyback program.
They can't buy it back because they never owned it, first of all.
Yeah, that's first of all. But Oh, here it is. It's in Mass. Oh, of course, it's in Massachusetts. Worcester, Massachusetts, asking citizens to bring their weapons to the police department next weekend as part of the city's annual Goods for Guns buyback program. In return for the guns, the city will offer gift certificates and a free flu shot.
Ew. Yeah. DJ asked me if I wanted to get flu shots the other day, and I was like, you know, I mean, I'm not completely conspiratorial of like they're inserting microchips and compliacin drugs into our system with that, but it is totally run by a government monopoly of people are – the government is used to influence people to do this. All the big pharma companies have payoff arrangements through lobbyists, through getting people elected to, you know, make people get them and encourage people to get them. And here's the real thing about it. I haven't had a flu shot in 7 years. I realized when I was saying this to her, I haven't had a flu in 7 years. I've had some colds, but you can't really do anything about that. There's no, you know, but I've not had a full blown flu since I last had a flu shot or before. Nice. Not saying they cause them, but just saying I don't need them. And what we decided is she's going to get one because she does get a flu a year because she deals with the public constantly. I don't deal with the public. She, like, you know, clients come in and they have snot-nosed little kids, you know, touching her desk, eating candy, blah, blah, blah. You know, she's shaking hands with people all day. I'm not. And I never get a flu when she gets a flu. So she's going to get one. I'm not. But
I take the whole Dwight Schrute perspective on that. And I'd rather people sneeze on me and expose me to the sickness so my body could naturally build up a thing rather than having heavy metals and a tiny bit of the virus injected directly into my bloodstream. I'd rather acquire it naturally by being out amongst the public, which I am often, and then taking vitamin D, making sure I eat healthy and that kind of stuff. You know, especially when I get sick, you know, if I start to feel that throat coming on, that sore throat, you know, I make sure to put alcohol, swimmer's ear, in my ear, try to kill it, keep it from infecting my ear. I take some vitamin D. This is not medical advice. I'm just telling you what I do. And it seems to work.
Sick. And we have to say things like that now, because literally, like, the government will take away your whole website and podcast and blog and everything if you give medical advice. So we're trying to, we're doing an ongoing experiment of like being nonviolent anarchists. That's our experiment. Let's see how that works. No, we will always be nonviolent anarchists, non-aggressive anarchists. I mean, if someone tries to knife us, we're going to shoot them. But, you know, we are not advocating violence. We don't like the idea of it. We don't like militia kind of like, let's take over the government. I'll just say I'm not involved in that and I don't go anywhere near it. I've read books by those people and found interesting ideas, but I don't think it's going to work. And I don't think it's, I guess you could say, they could say it's ethical because it's self-defense, but I don't even want to go there and I don't want to do that. I don't want to die. I don't want to live on my knees or die, you know, fighting oppression. I want to fight oppression with my words and my thoughts and educating people. But we're obeying all laws as written and being really careful with what we say of like not even giving, you know, like we don't use pictures that other people took a lot on our website. We don't use other people's music in our podcast. We're trying to stop from being CISPA'd too, because that's what they'll do. They'll say, well, we don't like these guys, but it's free speech. We can't really take their website down. But oh, wait, they used a little animated squirrel icon that was owned by AOL in 1994. We can take them down now, you know, so we don't do that kind of stuff. But I really believe that even doing what we're doing, this is all going to become illegal within a few years, or maybe not by de jure, but de facto, you know.
Yeah, it may be, and I do appreciate your vigilance in that.
Goes to the point of paranoia almost, or seems to, or overly cautious, but...
But I've said it before and I'll say it again. I'm eternally grateful for it because you actually seem to look ahead and worry about these things. Whereas I'm more of, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm younger. I'm just like, screw it. I'm going to say what I want to say and do what I want to do. F the government. They suck. And you sort of temper me, which is a good thing.
Yeah. And you temper me for not
the other way.
I don't know. We work really well together.
Yeah.
You know, sort of like the way women and men work together. Boston Tea Party said it really well in,
Women Civilized Men.
Yeah, in his section on women and guns in Boston's Gun Bible, he talks about, you know, men are on this planet to protect women. women are on this planet to civilize men, or not the only reason they're here, but that's the main thing, one of the main things they do for each other. And he said, fortunately, or unfortunately, there aren't a lot of men in the world anymore who are good at being men and being a husband or a boyfriend for women and not good at protecting them. But fortunately, women can protect themselves with a gun. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, men cannot civilize themselves. Men without women become, you know, Al Bundy without a wife, even just like farting on the car, on the couch and scratching themselves and burping and living in their own filth.
Although interesting, if we're talking in that narrative, and I would wonder what Boston thinks about gay men who would be the opposite of that, and in his view might seems, I don't know about in his view, but who would be very clean, well dressed, seem civilized by that kind of definition, and the fact that, you know, the house would be made up, they would be responsible, that kind of a thing.
Well, I was thinking about that while I was saying that. Boston has one of the most consistently ethical libertarian views of homosexuals for someone who doesn't like them or feel comfortable around them. And I don't want to paraphrase him, but I have invited him several times to come be interviewed on The Fiends or The Gumbo, and he hasn't done it yet. And he was, you know, hanging out in Casper one day, and I was hanging out with him, and he was like, he was going to do an interview, and then when he got here, he was really tired because he'd had a grueling day and a long drive from wherever he came from. So it hasn't happened yet, but my general understanding from interviews I've read and things I've read and his opinion on it is like, he, you know, basically, okay, there's a thing on the Free State Wyoming FAQ, which is open to the public, that part of the board. So one of the questions is like, you know, how do you feel about homosexuals joining Free State Project? You know, basically his thing is any race, creed, color, whatever. And his pretty much answer was that gays would be tolerated, but if they're really flamboyant about it, probably never fully accepted by the Free State Wyoming membership, which is probably one reason I'm not a member, because I don't feel that way exactly. Although I generally haven't had a lot of friends who are flamingly flamboyant homosexuals, but I've had a lot of friends who are gay. I pretty much generally don't have a lot of friends who are flamboyantly anything, because I like being around people who are more calm about what they do and more comfortable in it and don't have to shove it in the world. Like, I'm a gun guy, but you don't know it when I walk down the street. You know, I don't open carry anymore. I don't have a t-shirt that says guns don't kill people, the government does. I own that t-shirt, but I use it as a lampshade. You know, so basically, and he is, you know, he's fully for gays to have the same rights as straights for marriage, but for him that means the same thing it does to Ron Paul. I don't think the government should be involved in marriage. So yeah, is that your answer your question?
Well, yeah. I guess on the other end of the spectrum, though, I feel like maybe it's a generational thing, too, because the Free State New Hampshire Project, which seems to be a generation or two younger than the Free State Wyoming folks, gaiety seems to be like a very accepted thing for them. I mean, there's a whole show about being gay and in the Free State Project. What is it? Flaming Freedom?
And, you know, honestly, I love Dale and I love what he says about liberty and I love his cartoon, Anarchy in Your Head. But, and I listen to his show, but when they go really gay for a long time, I tend to tune out. And I'm a guy who's had a few dicks up my butt. I mean, I'm so not homophobic that I was like, well, I got to see what all the fuss is about. I love women. I mean, I like things and parts and things being put in mouths and, you know, back in the day on certain drugs in a dark room. I mean, things happen, but I don't like hearing an extended conversation about gay rights any more than I would want to hear an extended podcast about Game of Thrones, because I don't like that show and I don't care about it, you know?
It's just not your thing. Yeah.
And yeah. And, cool, you know, the big gay dance party, I thought it was really weird that there were so many straight people in drag at it. And I'm thinking, like, I come from San Francisco and lived there 16 years, and my band played a lot of gay clubs. I've had a lot of gay friends. I've been around a lot of gay people. And the straight people in drag at the big gay dance party would not have flown in San Francisco. I mean, gay,
what
straight
do you mean
people
flown?
straight people can go to gay bars in San Francisco, but if they imitate what they think is the, it'd be kind of like walking into a gay bar in San Francisco and or like walking into a gay bar lisping, like that's what they do. Most gay people don't dress in drag, and a lot of gay bars, it's a really manly thing, you know. And if you like, if a guy walks in a dress, they kind of vibe him out of there in a lot of places. Really? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess there's the big, hairy, leather clad gay people too, right?
Yeah. That's most of what San Francisco is in the public gay scene. I mean, there are drag queens and there are, but that's kind of like the scene I hung out with and where we played and where my friends were at was like, that's kind of sissy, man. You know, the fags would be like, ah, I like to lift weights and fuck people over the pool table in a crowded bar while they play AC/DC and Kiss really loud and Led Zeppelin. Yeah, yeah. And they put on disco in that bar and like someone would go probably punch the DJ and put on some rock and roll.
Well, one of the other things I wanted to talk about, as long as we're on the subject of, well, I guess we got off it onto
of gay
people,
you but, ain't doing it right.
No. Before that, we were talking about women and civilizing men.
Although I like dressing up in women's clothing and putting things up my butt still to this day. So I don't know. What am I? But see, I'm not being sissy about it. I'm being a man turning me into a woman. That's what goes on in my head.
Mm. Well, you wrote a book from a woman's perspective, didn't you?
Where it was first person.
But,
oh, yeah, I did. I forgot about that. It's my least selling book, Beautiful Pleasure, The Simple Pleasures of a Complex Girl. Actually, though, that book is written in second person, which is really weird, and I wanted to do it as an experiment.
How would that give me an example of a sentence?
Most books are in first person or third person. First person is
like, I went to the store and
I went to the store and bought Cocodril and some nylons. Okay.
And the services of a tranny hooker.
Yeah. I went to the store and bought some Benzedrine, Cocodril, lipstick, and nylons. Okay, third person
Cocodril sounds like a chocolate sex toy. I think
it does.
Mean Crocodil.
Crocodil. Crocodril. Crocodiles. Crocodiles.
Crocodril.
Okay, third person is I went to the – he went to the store and bought some nylons and speed and and lipstick.
Michael really enjoys dressing up like a woman.
Right, right. Second person is you. You went to the store and bought some nylons. It's a really when you start reading a book, it's written entirely in second person. It's completely baffling for about four pages. And then you go, why aren't all books like this?
Huh.
There are a few books that are like this. Bright
Lights,
Big City.
Choose Your Own Adventure books. Weren't the Choose Your Own Adventure
books
like that?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. And I love
those. That was my other example.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's your English lesson for the day, folks. Yeah.
There you go. Cool beans. But the other thing I was going to mention, I don't remember what the segue was here, but when we were talking about women in Boston and civilizing men and women with guns, how do you feel about the treatment of the whores in Hell on Wheels?
Horrible.
It was really horrible. And I was wondering, is that historically accurate? Were whores really treated that poorly?
Whores are still treated that poorly. I mean, streetwalker whores
I feel like whores
are
treated that poorly now because of their legal status. But I thought the libertarian or the anarchist argument was, look at the whores at the Bunny Ranch. They're treated very well and they make six figures and they drive Infinities to and from the whorehouse, which is a very posh place, and they have a high-end clientele. And that's because in that county they're in Nevada, it's completely, I guess, re-legalized or non-criminalized.
No. You have to also look at it like, I mean, if you want to take fiction, look at how whores are treated in Boardwalk Empire. Have you ever seen that? Which is a little later. It's in the 1920s and 30s. But prostitution is definitely legal there. But there's a house of prostitution run by a woman there. And the whores are treated a lot better until the mafia comes in and starts running the place. And then the women are still probably treated better than they are in Hell on Wheels. But they're taxed, and it's a protection thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
well, I just feel like all the men in Hell on Wheels, especially the more powerful men, have such a they think of the whores as literally less than horses. There's a scene where he's like, "Yes, a whore is worth less than a horse,
and
but
less than the blacks and the Irish."
Right, but don't they provide such a valuable service? I mean,
yes,
what would happen?
They civilize the men.
Well, not only that,
an
but
hour
if there
at
were
a time.
No, if there were no whorehouse in the Hell on Wheels world, right? In Hell on Wheels,
it'd be a lot more fighting.
A lot more fighting. There'd probably be gay rapes and gay sex. It'd be like a prison. I feel like everybody would be less productive, less happy. Morale would be so much worse. I feel like the whores are such an important part of that society and that economy. What is it that makes them treat people them that way and think of them that way?
Well, what is it? I mean, sweatshop workers are an important part of the sweatshop economy, but they're not treated well. I think part of it is that the whores weren't very armed.
A lot of people
were armed, but not the whores. I think one of them, one of them gets, do any of them even have guns or even like knives or anything? I mean, they probably have knives for food prep, they're not carrying weapons.
There's a story arc where one of the whores gets killed. And it's a big deal. And Lily Bell, the fair-haired maiden of the West, she wants justice for it, and I believe rightly so. But nobody else in the town, especially the town security chief and the main guy, the head of the railroad, he's like, "What are we gonna do? I don't care about no whore. I ain't caring no whore." And she has to go outside of his power in order to seek justice for it. And then people are upset that the guy who killed the whore gets killed. They think it's a tragedy. The German butcher is thinks it's ridiculous and it's a horrible thing that happened, that the person who killed the whore had met the same fate.
Yeah.
And that just stuck in my craw. I don't know how historically accurate that was. Maybe it is completely. I just seem to remember and getting the feeling, especially from a book called Renegade History, which I think I did read the chapter on whores, or at least a good portion of it. And he makes the argument that at least in some places, whores and whorehouses, they were legitimate businesses and pretty much respected as such.
Yeah, but only in places where it's illegal, they were only respected because they paid off the police, and the police could go get a suck anytime and probably get a big envelope at the end of the week. Anywhere it's illegal,
this is the situation. This is pre-America, though. This is what I'm talking about is in the colonial days before there was probably any statute about whores.
Yeah, so basically whores were treated bad as soon as the government showed up. Now, there isn't that much government in Hell on Wheels, but everyone's coming from a place where there is government, to where it's already established that whores are illegal. And, there's no real, no one to really pay off the way you could the cops, because they have a monopoly on violence. So there's a few different scumbags going around trying to get payoffs, like the two Irish brothers, who really can't provide any protection even. They just, they took credit for that guy getting killed when they didn't do it.
Yeah.
And then started shaking the whores down for protection with threat of violence. And didn't do a good job. So, I guess I'm not trying to say that the police would do a better job, but I guess I'm saying the whores should have been armed.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually was offered a job one time by Mistress Ilsa, who's the woman who is now married to one of the guys who's the Matrix brother director. The directors, the two brothers. The one who's now a cross-dresser, possibly is at a sex change operation. She started out doing running a dungeon in San Francisco, and then moved to LA and started running the biggest pro dungeon in LA, and then met this guy and was like, I'm making $1 million. I mean, she was one of those I believe that Lady Heather in CSI may be based on her. Mistress Ilsa was really professional, paid taxes, ran a legal service, and had congressmen and movie stars and billionaires as clients, and was really discreet about it. And she met this one guy and really liked him and moved in with him and married him and moved to Australia. And that was a better business move for her, and probably a romance move for her, than running this incredibly successful business of, whipping men for a living and having, she was the madam at that point in LA. She was running the thing and had a stable of women doing it. And before she was big, when she was in San Francisco and doing it on a small scale, she offered me a job once as security for this place, this house she rented, where she had a couple of girls doing that kind of work. And it was basically, she wanted me to sit in the other room with a shotgun in case one of the women screamed and needed help. And I never did it, because I got another job, and I guess she found someone else. She needed someone right away, and I was whatever. But, and it was going to be a shotgun with rock salt in the buck instead of buckshot. Now, that's kind of weird because I never would recommend that for home defense, but in that situation, it might work.
For whorehouse security.
Right.
Because you don't want them to maybe come back for
because
more.
Because she was, they might like it, because she was patting them down for weapons too the first time they come or had someone doing that. But, you know, it would be to get, you know, if someone's getting strangled or something against their will and screaming, you'd run in and shoot the guy in the ass with the buckshot, and that wouldn't kill you, but it would hurt like fuck.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And also, I guess for, you know, to protect the whores, if he's strangling the whore on top of him, you don't.
You don't want
buckshot going through him and also into the whore.
You know, why didn't the whores in Hell on Wheels take shifts where the of the 10 girls they had there or whatever, one of them is always in the little lobby of the tent with, you know, a 45 or why don't they hire someone, you know, one of the, instead of paying someone who says, I'm going to kill you if you don't make me give you protection. Mm-hmm. Why don't they hire someone who needs a job there, who is trustworthy, who could hold a gun and actually give protection while they're working?
Yep. Yep. I think that and as a larger theme, being a missed opportunity in the show is, why is there not a character who's the gunsmith, you know, or at least footage of the shop, the gunsmith shop? Because everybody has guns, and where are they getting their ammo? I mean, Bohannon goes through ammo like it's water. I doubt he's mail ordering from Chicago.
Well, there's got to be some kind of
gunsmith there.
I mean, you're having a problem with suspension of disbelief, but, you know, they are bringing kegs of powder.
Yeah.
That was pre-dynamite. They were using black powder to, like, you know, blow rocks out of the way to make the railroad, but they probably were selling some of that on the side for.
Yeah. Yeah,
but those guns needed – those were bullet guns, not ball guns, you know, not musket guns.
But it seems to me that there probably is some kind of shop or you know, at the sundry store, at the dry goods store, the general store. Somebody there sells ammo.
Yeah, and, you never saw it.
Probably guns.
You never saw it.
You never see it. And it also, if one exists, which it seems like it does – why is it such a big deal? How come it's like a big new thing when the blacks get armed? I mean, they make money. Why? How come none of them have bought their own guns yet? And same with the whores.
Yeah,
I feel like that's a missed opportunity in the show, or maybe even a problem with suspending disbelief. I guess on the other end of the spectrum, though, because I'd felt that way, you know, for the week of watching or 2 weeks of watching Hell on Wheels. And then last night I was watching South Park. And of course, the spoiled whore video playset episode comes on. And I'm like, OK, well, we need to respect whores. But I guess maybe if you glorify them like you do, like people did Paris Hilton, maybe that's the other end of the spectrum. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think we're wrapping this up unless you got a little more here on whores. I'll put that in the show notes,
but,
though. Whores. Whores and liberty.
Yeah.
Should we call it that? What was the name I had for this? Why We Torrent. I think whores and liberty will work better.
Do it like
whores and liberty slash
Doctor Strangelove or How I Learned to Love the Bomb. You can do it in the same.
Why We Torrent or How I Learned to Love Whores and Liberty.
There you go.
How I learned to stop worrying about horrors.
Or how about Michael loves to dress like a woman and have things up his butt?
My dad might look at this website, but he'll never listen to an episode all the way through, I can tell you that.
Okay.
If you could figure out how to listen. Why We Torrent or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Horrors and Liberty.
It violates the structure to have the and liberty. Just have it be and horrors. To love the whores.
And it violates what?
Well, there's not an and. It's not Dr. Strangelove or How I Learned to Love the Bomb and Planes.
Well,
it's just How I Learned to Love the Bomb.
I can riff a little bit off that. How about Why We Torrent or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Whore Liberty? The Liberty Whores. There we go.
There you go.
The Liberty Whores.
Well,
perfect.
Okay. Yeah, that works.
Yes. All right. So, worms, man, and I want to thank our studio audience for playing the home version of the game here on The Fiends.
Yay!
And you're welcome to stick around and yak. Just don't get us, droned.
Worms. Peace.
Worms. Peace.
Love The Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. download in Cedar Torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog The Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review The Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Hello, Freedom Fiends. It's your boy, Dean, from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. I-O-E, and that includes endorphins. No one won't ask permission, and I won't say please. Freedom fans, one fact that I gotta make clear.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Every week, we'll have an exciting new episode where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi weave their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com and the Liberty Radio Network.
Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them. We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.